I'd like for us tonight to look in Ephesians chapter 3. To think about the subject of prayer should be exciting to all of us. It opens up an opportunity for us to speak to our God, Creator of all things, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to be afforded access into His very presence. That should excite us. I've heard about some people that had appointments with high public people, figures in politics and so forth. They were so excited about it. Made all kind of preparation, were told what the protocol was and what to put on to dress and so forth. Man, they were excited about it. Just going into the presence of a man that was a politician. Well, we're invited to come into the presence of God. And I believe that it means a whole lot to God to have us come and recognize that and call upon Him. We hear so often that the prayer meeting in most churches is one of the most poorly attended meetings of all the meetings they have. I can't help but believe something has been lost sight of here. When you begin to take something that is so important and emphasized in Scripture, and you begin to treat it as if it's of no importance or lesser importance than preaching or something of that nature, nothing that we do for the Lord, of course, is unnoticed, but it seems strange. The Apostle Paul, he was a man of prayer. He believed in prayer. And he believed that it was important that the people of God pray. And he acknowledged some of these things, that it meant a lot to the Lord to hear the voices of His children. Because we're introduced to thoughts in this epistle where we have the church introduced, Jew and Gentile alike, brought together in that one unified body, the body of Christ, the church, comprised of every living member of His body, born again ones. He knew how important that was. He emphasized that. And as we look at it and think about his two prayers, and I'm just going to look at this one in the third chapter, but both of them, I was thinking about it, these are high quality prayers. You know, sometimes when brethren are leading in prayer, we kind of get off track. First thing you know, we're praying about everything. We don't stay focused. But it seems to me, at least the recorded prayers that we have by Paul and others, they stay focused on what they were praying about. And in this case, his deep concern for the family of God. Every believer is important to the Lord. You know, I look sometimes and I think about all the distinctions that are made among God's people. And I know we occupy different roles. We put different values upon what people are doing. I believe our God thinks we're all important. We're all important. And I have to believe that because of what He's done for us. I know your mind was already thinking, you better believe it. God would have never paid the price that was paid to redeem a poor sinner if He didn't think it was important, and it is so important. Give us a message to carry to the world that we're living in today. A world that is just kind of out of control. Certainly have lost, it seems, that vision of how important it is to have God, the integral part of our personal lives and about our lives as a people, as a nation. We hear this all the time that the United States of America, which has been called a Christian nation, because it sounds like they think everybody subscribes to being a Christian. Well, that's not true, of course, but I do hear people give out numbers and they say about 80-90% of the people in the United States still believe there's a God. Yet a small minority of people can do everything they can do to disempower those that would introduce a place for God in our government and everything we do, but shut it down. So, praying is important because it has great value. Prayer, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's what James said. The fervent prayer. From what I've read, that means it has some heat to it. Someone is really engaged in prayer fervently, in contact. It availeth much. Not just little prayers, but fervently praying. And I do believe that our prayer meeting, we do focus a lot on personal things, things regarding the general welfare of the people. That's great. I think that's important. But you know, in that first prayer of Paul's, he was thinking about the church at Ephesus and the Christians we're thinking about particularly, that there would be some spiritual growth there and they would have a special wisdom from God about who God is and what He's doing, and their knowledge would expand. We don't hear that much in our prayer meetings for each other. Oh, that we could grow spiritually. Oh, that we would be those that are devoted to Bible study, pursuing truth, and practicing truth. So Paul, in his prayers, he has a motive behind what he's doing, knows what he's doing, knows the value of it. I read something regarding just a comparison between these two prayers. The first one was, of course, dealing more with enlightenment, what they'd been brought into, and how wonderful it was to be members of the family of God. But now he shifted to enablement and what one can accomplish through living his life for the glory of God. Prayer is an important part of it. One was dealing with light, as the outline put it, but this is dealing with new life, how it can be exercised, how it can be used to glorify God. First prayer was dealing with know what you are, but this one is be what you know. Be what you know. If you know something, the importance about it is if you practice it. If we don't practice what we know, what value is it? Someone has the ability to read and goes down the road and we read, danger ahead, bridge out. He doesn't pay any attention to it and it's a disaster. He had knowledge, he knew what was wrong, he knew what to do, but he didn't do it. We need to be concerned about what we know. If we know something, the proof of it is, do we practice what we know? Then you say, really knows that whatever he knows is important enough, has value enough, that he practices what he knows. He's not just spouting off. And that first prayer, power working for us, is something that Paul emphasized very strongly. God is on our side. Of course he's on our side. We belong to him. I'm just reading 1 Corinthians chapter 6, those last two verses there, 19 and 20. We are not our own. We were purchased with a price. Spirit of God indwells us. These bodies of ours are the temple of God. And the Spirit of God indwells us. You know, when you, even if you're sitting alone and you begin to read and meditate upon a thought like that, it you have a little eerie feeling. It might indicate that something is dawning upon you, and you should have been aware of this all along. The Spirit of God dwells in me. He lives in me. And he wants me to do his will and his bidding for the glory of God. Because Christ is in you, but you're in Christ. So those are just some comparisons between the two prayers, but getting to the prayer, Paul says, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations. It's good to be thought highly of. I believe they had the church at Ephesus, I believe that most of these churches that he wrote to, I believe they had a high opinion of him. Someone here recently characterized him as being that short, little, bald-headed Jew that couldn't see good or something. I tell you what, when I think about him, I don't think about what he looked like. But I can tell you, I think about what he was and what his life was devoted to. And I tell you what, he's a big man. Big man. He's one of those special servants of the Lord. Called himself a bond slave of Jesus Christ. He didn't hide anything. For me to live is Christ, He's a big man. He may not get much recognition in the world today or even then, but he says, I don't want you to get overcome by any thoughts about me suffering, having a hard time out on the road, traveling, being in prison, being in a prison cell, maybe chained. I don't want you to lose any sleep over that. That's what he said. Because I tell you what, all of this will result in glory for God. The Lord's going to get something out of this. It's not something that God is doing just to have me suffer. No, Paul to me was one of those people that I don't really picture him as rarely ever having a day in which I think I'll quit. I think I'll go back to being a Pharisee. After all, he had a pretty high position, you know, in the religion of the Jews. Well-educated man. He could have done all right. I really don't believe that ever came to his mind. This man was so completely focused on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, Satan, get out of the way. Here I come. He wasn't about to yield. Be strong in the Lord. He's got on the whole armor of God. This man is ready. That's why he challenges us when we read about him. And we admire him. I'll ask you this, and you won't have to answer it, but do you know any Apostle Pauls today? People just like him? Do you know any? That you really believe in your heart? They're just as fervent. They're just as dedicated as he was. That's something for us to think about. But I tell you what, he valued this getting down on his knees and praying. Getting down on his knees and praying. I think it's important that sometimes we get out on our knees and pray. I know an old couple, not as old as I am, but they're old. They have to help each other up and down, and they get out on their knees and pray. It's that important to them. She said, I don't feel like I pray unless I get out on my knees. Get out on my knees and pray. I'm bowing before my God. We may think that, well, that's kind of humorous. I admire that. I like that. Get out on your knees and pray. And that's what the Apostle Paul did. Get out on his knees. This is important. You see, as he looked at the church and the development of the church as a family, comprised of individual believers, no longer thinking of himself as a Jew, the people of God, he's thinking of himself as a member of the body of Jesus Christ our Lord, and he's one of God's children. He's a child of God. That intimacy of saying, Father, Father, he did that. He would encourage us as we think about our family relationships. And that will carry you beyond not only our responsibilities to the Lord, but our responsibilities to each other. Our responsibilities to each other. Caring for each other. I'm telling you, the Lord knew all about that. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another the same way I have loved you and given myself for you. That tells me everything about how he felt like we should regard our relationship to each other. You are my spiritual family. You are my brothers and sisters in Christ. We are one in him. The Apostle Paul, he considered that very important, that that be maintained at its highest level, well-pleasing to the Lord as to the way we conducted ourselves in the family of God, the household of God. He wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to occupy that first place in their lives. Gibby's been laying it on us about heart and all that it means to the Lord to have your heart in the right place, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. He occupies the most important part of my life. The heart is the most important, you know. Earl's been finding that out, that thing's beating, got all the rhythm or something. He wants to occupy the center of our lives. The most important part of our lives is that Christ lives in me. He lives in me. Lives in you. Man, that's important. Just think of all the people that one day, just because they neglected to take into account an invitation to come and to receive by the grace of God, this person, this Savior that God has provided, think about where they're going to spend eternity. They're going to spend eternity separated from God. And that won't be good. That's bad. One man, and we say this so often from this platform, and you know all about it. I'm tormented in this flame. That's bad. And to know something about the love of Christ. Sometimes we focus a lot on our love for each other. Sometimes a relationship is built on love. And sometimes we try to measure the degree of one's love for another person or something or whatever. How is our love life with the Lord Jesus Christ? How do we regard our relationship with him? To know the love of Christ, I'll tell you, he's the greatest lover of all times. He loved us even unto the death of the cross. A man that will die for you on a cross and be put to an open shame and have all of your sins laid upon him and pay the penalty for it, he loves you. Man, don't you forget it. You've been loved by the Son of God. He loved you even unto the shameful death of the cross, put to an open shame. He went through that awful ordeal of the judgment and the wrath of God being laid upon him. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. I mean, we've got somebody that really loves us. Somebody not long ago said, you know, sometimes I feel like nobody loves me. I said, well, Jesus still loves you. Oh, yeah, and him too. I know he loves me. I thought, it's not just ho-hum. Man, when you are loved of God, you are really loved. And when we read about what so often we hear about this passage here that deals with the love of Christ, with passive knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God, and so forth. This is something that I wrote down. It says, may your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you be able to feel and understand, as all of God's children should, how long, how wide, how deep, and how high His love really is. Isn't that worth thinking about? I tell you what. My wife used to ask me all the time, how much you love me? I said, you know how much I love you. No, I don't. Tell me how much you love me. She wanted to hear me say it. And I did. And I loved her. She loved me. But this love that is described, this experience of being loved of God, so great that we will never see the end of it, He is going to love us for all eternity. It's not just while we're in the body and down here and this land in which things are not too good in the world with all of the things that can distress. Always love of God. Our day-by-day choices will govern how rich our relationship with Him really is. Don't forget that. What you choose, what you do, the important things in your life, they tell you, you know, how much you value His love and your relationship with Him. God loves us. And I think it's deserving for each one of us to day by day say, Lord, I know you know my heart. I know you know what's in this little mind. You know all about me. But Lord, I just want to say I love you. I love you. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee tonight that we're gathered together for prayer. It's so important. It means a lot to You, Lord, to have us gathered here, I'm sure. Where two or three are gathered together in Your name, You're in the midst. Lord, we claim Your presence here. Hear our prayers, hear our cries. Grant, we pray Thee, that we pray for and ask for nothing but Your good and perfect will, and that You receive all the glory and honor. Lord Jesus, thank You. We love You, Lord. Amen.